So here we are, it's polling day, and the nation will go to vote on whether it stays in the EU or leaves the EU. And I must admit, when the news broke in January that there was going to be this this vote, this referendum, I was thinking that it would be something like 70-30 to stay in. I thought it was a done deal. But in the last couple of weeks, things have been ramped up quite a lot. And we are hearing that just on the Isle of Wight, it's massively busy. Incredibly busy. Polling stations have massive queues. And if there's one thing that British people know how to do and know how to do it well, it's moaning and queuing. Okay, so the queues for the polling stations apparently are incredibly busy. So a lot of people are getting off their backsides and voting on what is possibly the most important vote of our lifetime. We have three people in the studio that aren't voting because they're not old enough, which is a shame, because I say to those people, those powers that be, it's a shame we didn't incorporate people that are of a certain age, because it's going to affect them a lot longer than it will us, because obviously we'll be gone and buried in about 20 odd years time, where these guys are just getting into their prime. So I think whatever we do is going to affect them, and hopefully they've got opinions on that. We have Cameron Perry, who goes to school at Medina College.
Yeah.
And you do have an opinion on whether we should stay in or out. Just remind us what it is.
I think we should leave the EU.
You should leave the EU?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if we leave the EU, that would result in immediate cost saving, as the country will no longer be contributing to the EU's budget.
Okay, all right. And have you worked out how much? I mean, it's quite a considerable amount of money. The figures that are banded around is it something like £300 million a day? Is that right?
That's about it. Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking.
Yeah, I think so.
So we're talking a lot of money here. And is that the best reason? That's the first thing you've said. So is that the best reason? Is that top of your list?
Yeah, that's the best reason, because it will save Britain like a lot of money not contributing to the EU's budget, so it saves us a lot of money.
Okay, stay on microphone. You keep wandering off, but I accept what you're saying, but I think what we do is we'll bring in Jacob in a mo, because he'll offload the argument of but we get loads back, don't we, Jacob?
Yeah, I think we do, but it's in the form of we get a lot of workers through, and I think what's lacked on in the British work ethic is definitely picked up by immigrants. But you always hear, whenever you see all these debates on the TV, you never hear the other side. There's 600,000 people have emigrated into Europe from UK.
Okay.
Since David Cameron got in.
Right.
So you never hear that side of the thing, that it is a two-way street.
Let's come on to that a little bit later. But okay. For now, Cameron's asking the question there. You know, we're going to be, what, £300 million a day better off?
Yeah.
What we asked was, there's money coming back the other way if we stay in, though. Supposedly.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to people who need it more. We're a perfectly sufficient country.
But is it coming back? That's what we're asking. Is it coming back? Yeah, I reckon you'll be an outer by the end of the show. I do. I think, because you can't back that up, can you?
No.
Well, I think what they are saying, I'm pretty sure I've heard one of the politicians, although I have to admit, nearly every argument or discussion that I've seen on the television, I've switched off. Because what tends to happen is the politicians, they all talk all over each other, and so does the guy doing, you know, presenting the show, and it just thinks, I can't be bothered to listen to two people having an argument and talking over each other, and I can't understand what you're saying, so I switch off and watch the football. Mm. Or maybe Emmerdale Farm, because I'm an Emmerdale Farm fan. And, you know, so I'm just... Again, let's clarify this. See if you can do some research on this, which is, you know, basically we asked you to do the research in the week. You know, Cameron's brought up a point. The reason why, if he was given the vote, he would say, I'm coming out purely and simply because we give too much money away and we don't get much money back. But by all accounts, and I'm only going on what they tell you, who knows whether it's true or not, you get more money coming back the other way in different ways.
Well, it is interesting that's all, but we can't believe all of these things that are being said to us. Because, I mean, I've got two stats here. One for pro leaving. 5 out of 6 jobs go to immigrants. 5 out of 6 new jobs go to immigrants. Whereas anti-leaving the EU say 9 out of 10 new jobs go to British citizens.
Okay, so there's like you look at those two statements there.
They're completely different.
Who's telling the truth?
We don't know.
I tell you what I did see in the week. We're bringing Alfie in a moment, but I did see in the week, it was quite an interesting thing. There was a, I don't know where it was somewhere in the country where there was a fruit farm. Mm-hmm. So they had people that were picking fruit. And they were talking to the people that were picking fruit, and they were saying, you know, who picks your fruit for you? And basically they said, Polish people do. And they said, why do Polish people, why is it more or less only Polish people that come in and pick the fruit for you? And they said, they're the only ones that want to do the job because British people don't want to know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that that goes on. There's certain jobs that British people won't do because I don't know. Well, in some ways, maybe they're lazy or whatever. But so it's wrong then to pinpoint and poke the finger at certain people because of their nationality, because they're doing the jobs that us Brits don't want to do.
Yeah. Well, we're doing that in geography at the moment. It says the immigrants are doing jobs that are dirty, demeaning and dangerous, the 3 D's, that is their prime use of primary jobs. That's what they're doing.
Do you know what I find amazing? You're doing this in school, uh-huh, right, in geography.
Yeah.
Crikey, it was used to be different when I used to do geography. It was igneous rocks and capitals and stuff.
Oh, we still
like
have
that
to do that as well.
But it's fascinating that they don't teach you how to look after yourself or teach you about APR. They're teaching you about the what D's? How many D's?
The 3 D's.
The 3 D's? Uh-huh. About the jobs that are dangerous for certain people. That's in geography. Mm. Fascinating. I mean, you mentioned in the week, just to go off tack a little bit, you wish that you were taught, you know, things that were more important and you could take away and you could benefit from, like teaching yourself how to cook.
Yeah.
Knowing how to iron. Doing all of these things, knowing full well what an APR is, what a mortgage is, and so on and so forth, and there you are learning about the Polish doing jobs that the Brits don't want to do. I find that fascinating.
Yes, that's completely.
Okay, so we're bringing Alfie at this point because he's like scoffing at all your comments there because obviously he's an outer. So come on, Alfie, is he talking nonsense?
Majority, yeah.
So come on, why is he talking nonsense?
You said earlier that we're a stable economy and country, which for the most part we are, but it's how the money is used, and we need more money. Because I said earlier about the NHS and all the strikes and things like that, it's because they're not getting enough money. But so with the extra money, it could go into that.
But is that an EU problem, or is that the MPs putting their salaries up all the time? Is that...
It could work both ways, you know.
Well, there's cuts in every sector, so it's not just all of this. It is a bigger thing than it's looking.
Okay, if we just come in there, let's get real. So the MPs gave this, and I really don't like the way that they've just given themselves a 10% pay rise.
Yeah,
10%. It's incredible.
Whereas everyone else is getting a 1% pay rise.
Yeah, and that's wrong. That's not leading from the front, is it? And a certain Prime Minister said a little while ago, we're in this together.
Yes.
Well, it doesn't feel like there's very much togetherness there.
No.
But let's put it in the in context. There's what? I don't know, 600 odd MPs, and they all give themselves a £10,000 pay rise. You know, that's a couple of million. But it's not probably the millions and millions and millions that we need to be pumped into the NHS. So
no.
It is chicken feed,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not going to change anything. So where is the money? Where is all this money? Where is all this money that we need to put the NHS right? Where is all this money that
what's the EU necessarily doing with it? Do you know?
There you go. There's another question. Look, you shaking your head and saying, I don't know. Say on microphone, if you don't know, you don't know.
I don't know.
There's no shame in that. You don't know. Let me tell you the real problem with this, the whole of this debate, not this debate, but the whole argument, is nobody's really answered any questions.
No.
Because I don't really think that they know what the answers are. You've got the choice, and I think it does come down to something really bog standard, something really simple. Do you want more of what you've got, or do you want to risk? It's a bit like Deal or No Deal, isn't it? Well, you don't know what's in that box.
Whichever way we go, we're going in blind. We don't the in is we know slightly more what's going to happen if we stay in, but if we go out, we don't know what's going to happen. But then, yeah,
I think it's as simple as that.
It's a blind jump.
Now you got some more facts and figures for us, Cameron. So what would you like to say?
Also, I feel like if we left the EU, we could make a large membership fee saving, which I found out a bit about.
Okay, tell us more about it then.
It sort of links into what I just said about if we left immediate cost saving, sort of links into that.
Okay. So £300 million a day? Sounds a lot of money.
It's a week.
A week, is it?
It's a week.
£300 million a week.
Yeah.
So that's still a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Definitely. But they do say that loads more come back the other way.
Yeah.
Do we know that? Can we find that out? Because you're supposed to be campaigning for the in remaining. That's something you should have found out. So if you can't find that out, two things here. Either you haven't done your job properly, or they haven't done their job properly by putting these facts and figures out there. And this is the whole point. None of us really are very clued up with it, because we're not supposed to know. And there's a little bit of me that thinking, do you know what, I'm put out, because I don't really want to have to worry about this. This is why we voted in the politicians in the first place. If you know about it, sort it out. You don't need to bother us with it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, yeah.
So I feel a bit aggravated by that. But at the same time, we've got the opportunity to vote, so we should be finding out things. But we're finding out things from people that want to shout at you what you should be doing, and this is wrong, if you do this, it's wrong, and so on. And you can't find out these facts. Please try and find out those details of how much we get. How much? Just put it into Google. How much do we get from the EU? Let's get facts and figures on the table. Because what we're hearing is we lose £300 million a week, which is, what's that, about 50-odd million pound a day. You know, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of cash. Cameron, what else have you got there? What else?
If we left, the border would be back in our control, because in the papers they've said that they're going to move 570,000 EU kids into our schools in Britain. So if we left the EU, they couldn't do that.
Okay, is that a fact? Yeah. Okay, that's a fact.
Because it was in the Daily Mirror. And
I thought you were going to say the Sun.
Mm. Yeah, it was in the Sun yesterday.
Right. Okay. And do you believe that's true? Is that true?
I just found.
Okay. Well, let's go back. Let's backtrack then. You've got the facts there. Yeah, what do we get from the EU? What's in it for us?
We gave out in 2013. We gave out 14.5 billion euros, and we got back 6.3 billion.
And we got back how much?
6.3 billion, so a little under half.
Let's break that down, okay? Let's make that in simple terms. You got £14, right? Oh. Okay, and you put it into the bank, and you got £6 back. How do you feel?
Well, you'd feel ripped off, really, but it's
just a point.
It's
exactly.
It's going to the community. It's not just going. It is going to the community in which we are in.
And in that community, the NHS is struggling.
If we weren't in that community, then we could use the money just simply for us. But because we're in it, then we have to share it all out, and then we don't get as much back, and it affects us.
But we get a lot of that money through easy trade with the EU.
Do we? Can you back that up? I've heard so many different arguments over the last couple of weeks. You don't know what to believe. You really don't know what to believe.
The facts are just everywhere.
What else have you got there, Cameron? Because you've got three pages full of stuff there, and it's incredible the amount of work that you've done on this. Let's get it all out there.
If we left, we could decide like who comes into our country and who
is that important?
Yeah, because say like. Like, for example, if you say, like, someone's bringing in loads and loads of immigrants.
Right.
Like, yeah, okay. that could help restore our borders if we could decide, like, who comes in and out of our country. That could help restore our...
What do you say is an immigrant?
Like...
Just say, for instance, let's break it down. Let's go back to common sense, all right?
Someone...
Say for instance, we've got a family of Iraqis. Kids from Iraq, family from Syria, and some from Libya and so on. Okay, they're coming in because they're homeless. Do you know why they're homeless?
Because they're like... Because there's like the wars and that.
Yeah, there's some of the wars and some of the facts that, you know, that are true, that we actually caused the fact that they're homeless because we blew up their houses, okay? So they're coming over here from a war-torn country. They're coming over here, okay? Do you have a problem with them coming in?
No, it depends on what they're coming here for. If they're coming here to, like...
Because they're coming here because they ain't got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, if they're coming here to, like, get a...
They haven't got a house.
Yeah, then that's fine.
Reverse it.
Like, if they're, like, coming here to, like start a new life and getting a home, yes, but if they're coming here to do to make problems, I start wars and that, they shouldn't be allowed in Britain. If they're coming here just to like start a new life, get a house and like help their family, yeah, that's fine, but if they're coming here just to start wars, they shouldn't be allowed in this country.
Okay, I think I hear what you're saying. I think there'll be an awful lot of people out there that would agree. I mean, I look at this situation and think, if we've got an array of people that are coming from certain countries that have been, are war-torn, have been bombed and so on and so forth, and in some cases we've actually done that damage to them, then I think we owe it to them to help them any way we can. If there are people that are just coming from countries just so that, they can reap benefits, i.e. our benefit system, then I think that's what they've got to look at and stamp out. Mm-hmm. It's a case of what can you offer. If you, the difference between an immigrant and a migrant, they're massively different. So maybe yeah, look that up. So you're absolutely spot on with it. I say if there's people that need our help, desperately need our help, then they should have our help. It's as simple as that. Reverse it is what I was trying to say to you. Just imagine somebody bombed your house and Britain became this horrible place where it was war-torn, okay, and you needed to get out. Your family decided that they were going to get you out and you were going to go to a country. You reverse it, how would you feel? You'd want help, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
See, and that's fair. And the other point that we seem to forget in this EU referendum is that there's an awful lot of people that are in desperate need of our help that aren't in the EU, so it's not an EU situation. It's not an EU problem. If you're dealing with people coming from Poland and other countries that may have a few issues there, or they're just coming over here to offer something, work. I mean, we mentioned earlier on about the fact that there's a lot of Polish people that are fruit picking up in a certain place up the country somewhere, and they're the only people that want to do the job because the Brits are supposedly too lazy to do it, then you've got to have them come in and do it, and thank God for them. There's an array of people, that multinationals, that work at the NHS. Now, if you didn't have them, it wouldn't work properly because, you haven't got enough nurses and so on and so forth. So you have to have some kind of common sense, and you have to be fair, and you have to have a fair system. And I'm guessing that's what you want, a fair system. If people were just coming in and just saying, look, I've come over because I thought you'd pay me lots of benefits and stuff, we've heard that story, that's wrong. But the other scenario is, we need to help them. Surely that's common sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
People keep saying this, though, that we need to take control of our borders. But you never hear from all the people up high, higher up, you don't hear a fixed plan of what they're going to do if we can take back our borders. You just hear, oh, we'll just do what Australia does with the point system. But that's not setting it in, is it? That's just saying, oh, we'll just copy them. So what's... I don't see the point. Like, they're not giving us any information about what they're actually going to do about controlling the borders. So I don't think that statement is relative, because we don't know what they're going
to
do.
It goes back to what you know and what we all know and what we're trying to find out. No one really knows anything, do they? And and honestly, I think if you're going out to vote today, I'm not going to try and sway you either way. You have made up your own mind. I've made up my own mind. I have voted. I voted postal voted. But I just look at it and think, you've got two choices. You can either try and listen to the politicians and try and work out through the arguments if what they're telling you is truthful and so on and so forth. And you can come to a conclusion that you're either going to think, well, better the devil you know and I'll remain, or you're going to take a chance and see what else is available.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, it's a bit like Deal or No Deal. It really is. And any politician that is can say to anybody, that say, that's not right, because this is what we will do, this is what we can do, they're not telling the truth, because I don't think they really, really know. They've not got a plan B, and that's something that I've heard them being pressed on. Should we take a call? You've all got headphones, you can all hear. Now, hopefully there'll be somebody on the other end of this telephone that'll be asking you a question. Hi, who's this?
Afternoon, Greaser.
Hello, me old flower, how are you?
Hey, I'm all right.
Have you voted?
Nothing yet, not done. I'm working, mate.
Oh,
more
so...
More important for me.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, right, if you've got a dodgy council or a dodgy government... within sort of 4 or 5 years, you've got a chance to kick them out.
Yeah.
Right? We have no say on kicking out the people over in Brussels and God knows where else, because we don't vote them in the first place.
Yeah.
And yet they are loading us with all sorts of rules and regulations which don't make sense to us, and probably don't make sense to a lot of people in Europe either. I personally think that today's vote is going to be a big wake-up call for a lot of other countries as well as the UK. And it could be a pack of dominoes. Yeah?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Can you just explain what you mean by that? I think I know what you mean.
Well, basically, you know, if you get a load of dominoes, stand them all up, get a pack of dominoes, stand them all up, someone opens the door and slams it, it'll fall over. We could be the one slamming the door.
Okay.
And it could all fall over. I can foresee a situation here where in maybe even in 18 months' time, the European Union ceases to exist as it stands at present, and there has to be a complete and utter rehash of the whole thing. Because if we kick it out, right, you've got the Greeks hanging on every word, you've got the Italians with no money, you've got the Spanish with no money. And you know what the French are like if they don't get their own way. So who does that leave? Germany and a lot of people in Eastern Europe. Well, the Germans ain't going to like that.
Okay. So, I've been thinking this for a while. If just say, for instance, we decide to come out, I think there'll be other people that will, you know, follow
Without
suit and they'll come out as well.
Without a doubt.
Somebody said to me a while ago, and you know, they came in and they were interviewed, and they were quite switched on with it, and they were saying the EU is finished. You know, the MPs won't tell you that because they're obviously, you know, in the job, and you know, they're just not going to tell you that for obviously reasons. They want to keep their job.
Bring it down to a local level, right? Bring it down to the Isle of Wight. What do we get out of this country? Yeah. So if we look at the UK as being part of Europe, what does the UK get out of Europe? I mean, more to the point, what does the Isle of Wight get out of Europe? We're not even an island according to Europe, are we?
Well, that's the other argument, that's a massive argument. It's something I've been moaning about for years, is the fact that we're statistically lumped in with Hampshire, so financially we're worse off.
Yep.
And, you know, I say, what do we get from... your first question was, what do we get from the government? Well, at the moment, we get very little from the government.
Exactly.
They even visited a little while ago, and...
They said we're going to get half of nothing.
Yeah. And I don't know whether you were hearing the show. It is relevant, but it's not. But it just tells you that certain people are not listening. They've got the power, but they don't listen. We've got an MP. He's a nice guy. He's always saying hello. He's a very friendly chap. The other day, it was brought to our attention that Kev Newton, this guy that runs the bus shelter for homeless people on the island, went and visited Andrew Turner with a homeless person, and because there are no statistics that suggest that there are homeless people on the Isle of Wight, even though we know there are, he refused to believe that there was homeless people, so he wouldn't discuss it with them.
Well, so that's a typical response from an MP or from an MP, regardless of whatever their persuasion. MPs don't believe anything anybody tells them unless there's somebody standing there with a fact file that they can show them the details. Because basically, they don't ever say yes or no to anything, do they, politicians?
Well, the facts don't have to be true either. It's just has to benefit them.
Exactly. So, and if your politicians are no longer the bloke down the road or across the border in London, but he's over somewhere in Brussels, somebody we don't even know who he is, we haven't elected, they've not signed off their books, how can you take them seriously?
Just going back to what you originally said about the big shake-up in this country, do you see us voting out?
Yes.
And do you think that is going to shake up our politicians?
I think Cameron's position will be untenable overnight, along with his buddy George, the creepy George Osborne. I think the pair of them will have to go because their position's untenable.
So do you think that Boris then will take over?
Yeah.
Well, I can honestly say I could see if things sort of get a little bit out of hand, we could end up with a general election next year.
Yeah, well, but if we vote out, then we could be handing power to Gove and Boris. And do we really want the guy who wrecked our education system in power of our country?
Forget Boris for a minute, right? The other guy was considered clever enough and suitable enough to be a major part of the present government.
Hmm.
He hasn't suddenly become different overnight, has he?
No.
You know, the only thing that I can see that we will get rid of for certain is Nigel Farage. Because he'll have no reason to do anything anymore, will he?
Well, no.
But see, that in itself is really hypocritical. Here's a guy that wants to come out of Europe, and yet he's a European MP, isn't he?
Yeah.
Exactly. His job's gone overnight, along with people like Kinnock and all that lot. See, it doesn't matter what political persuasion you are, they've all got their snouts in the trough.
Yeah.
The whole flipping lot of them. So we need a little bit of somewhere in this country, and I'm not saying it's Corbyn because I can't stand that bloke. Somebody in this country needs to stand up and say, right, we've had enough of this. Let's get back to what we do best, and that is we organise other people. We organise other countries. We're organisers. We're not shopkeepers. We organise stuff. But at the moment, we're being organised by somebody else.
That's because we allow them.
Exactly, and we've got no way of stopping them. Even my business, Ian. We've had to change all the colours of the cables, you know, because it harmonises with Europe. Yet we get stuff sent over from Germany with different colours on. We get stuff from France, different colours on. Who's the only people doing the harmonising are us.
Yeah, I've heard that many times as well. So you see us coming out then? You see that's a vote for out?
I think it could be a massive... And I tell you what, I'll even go further to say that we Bernie up in Scotland would actually find ourselves in a bit of a problem. Because I think when it comes to a difference between independence of Scotland or independence from Europe, I think she might be on for a backside whacking.
Yeah, if Scotland will leave us, I think, if we leave the EU.
But how many people in Scotland want to leave, want to be part of Europe? That's the whole point.
Yeah. Mm.
What does Scotland get out of Europe?
Less than us.
It's only the oil. It's all they've got. If you take the oil away from Scotland, what's it got? It's got a few members blinking... With kilts, some whiskey, and a load of hills. It's slightly better off than Wales.
So do you see us? I mean, there we are today. Said to the wife earlier on, it's very apt that on a day that we go to the polls, that with all four European, all four British teams.
No, three.
Oh, you're going to do that as well, are you?
Well, the Republic of Ireland had nothing to do with us.
Do you know what? It's really funny because I was having this discussion with the wife the other day, and I was saying that they're not part of the British Isles, supposedly.
No, they are. And geographically, they are.
They are, but they're not part of Britain.
But they're not part of the United Kingdom.
And I remember back in 1992, I was working in a nightclub in Egypt, in Cairo, and it was basically there were lots of international flights coming in and out of this hotel, which had this nightclub in, and we had all sorts of people in there. But the one night there was a load of Republic of Ireland guys in there. And I was saying, I made the mistake of saying, oh, we're all Brits together here, aren't we? And no way, mate. And crikey, I was like public enemy number one for the next couple of hours.
You was night boat to Cairo, you were, wasn't you?
I certainly was. And that was an inter- and I thought, right, okay, at least I know where we stand now. But I watched that game last night and thought, do you know what? Us four British teams, we're in the next round.
But you see, that's another point, right? If or when, or if we vote to leave Europe, that then I'll leave Ireland in a dodgy position, because its best trader and its local neighbour will suddenly be a real foreign country.
Mm. Right.
The special relationship might not be special much longer.
Yeah.
And there's so, that brings up all sorts of issues with the six counties in the north.
So you're voting to come out, but can you hand on heart know that that is the right decision?
No, nobody can. All you can say is, if you look at the situation we've got at present, can it be worse? We've had, you know, if you've got a car that keeps failing its MOT, do you keep throwing money at it to get it passing its MOT, or do you take it down to scrap shop and get another one?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm a great believer in... I have no idea what would happen if we come out. All I know is that I would like to see some kind of change, because I just look at things and I don't like the way that politicians, like you said earlier on about the European elected people that are telling us what to do. We never elected them. That's the only kind of issue that I have, and the fact that we want change. We want politicians to be more honest. How dishonest is it that, you know, you get politicians that give themselves a 10% pay rise, a massive increase, but they won't give any kind of increase to the NHS, or a very, very small one? That's wrong. That's the sort of things I would like to change. But by coming out of Europe, is that actually going to happen? Is that going to allow us to be able to do those things? Well, I don't know. I don't think it will.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, this could be a sea change in politics. When you can see Gordon Brown standing on the same platform with David Cameron, preaching for the same thing, you think, hang on a minute, these two are diametrically opposed. And then you see, you know, other people with old Gove and that lot. There's been a few Labour Party people, a couple of Liberals on there. And you think, hang on a minute, this is not what we're used to in this country. We're used to all red Labour, all blue for Tory, or maybe a few orange ones for the Liberal Democrats. We're not getting that now, are we?
Yeah, no. But that shows just how close it all is, and how little differences make big differences.
So we could have a complete change in this country.
I think, going back to what you were saying, I think you make a really, really good point there. Hey, we've got to get to a break, but thanks for being there, Arthur.
Well, you make sure you don't advertise anything European on that break.
All right, we'll be back in about 30 seconds, then. Thanks, you cool.
I'll see you when we're in a new country.
Yes. Good luck.
Bye.
Thanks, Arthur. See yous.
Nice knowing
you. So, make a good point there. I think it'd be interesting to see what happens. What happens after they've all had this, like, you know, argument. You've got David Cameron, you've got Boris Johnson. Up until today, yeah, they've fallen out, and they've said, you know, they're totally on poles apart. What will happen after the vote tomorrow? You know, if it, just say, for instance, if we vote to stay in, David Cameron keeps his job. If we vote to go out, like you said, he used the term untenable. Mm. Will then Boris Johnson be? And I can see that's where you've modelled your hair on Donald Trump, haven't you? So that's what we've got. We've got a Donald Trump hairdo in the studio, and I think you're a secret closet Donald Trump and Boris Johnson fan. Oh, come back and find out whether that's true in two ticks.
The Lunchtime Social Debate, brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
www.vectisradio.com. The loss of a loved one through bereavement is one of the hardest and most painful things we have to go through in life. It's a great help and comfort when someone can sit down with you and talk you through the kind of service you would like to mark the passing of your friend or relative, and then on the day deliver a warm and positive ceremony with his or her life at the heart of it all. My name's Jonathan Skeet, and I'm an independent funeral celebrant. For an informal chat with no obligation whatsoever about how I can help you in this crisis moment, call me on 01983 868607. That's 01983 868607 or ask your funeral director.
Do you run your own business? Do you have staff? Have you considered how to protect your business if staff decide to leave? This is just one of the things you need to consider as an employer. Real Employment Law Advice can take the worry away and provide you with everything from employment contracts that are tailored to protect your business through to full HR outsourcing advice. Whatever your budget or whatever your needs, Real Employment Law can help. Go to adviceforemployers.co.uk for more information.
This is Vectis Radio, the Isle of Wight's local community station. Vectis Radio was set up on the 23rd of January 2010 and has been running successfully ever since. We are a community radio station which promotes local businesses, events, charities and more. The station pays for itself by offering affordable but competitive advertising rates to local companies. For more information, call our sales team on 01983 527 733 or email vectisradiomarketing@gmail.com. Vectis Radio really is a community station in its truest sense. For the people, by the people.
Social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666 or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
The Lunchtime Social Debate brought to you by Real Employment Law Advice, your legal lighthouse guiding you through a sea of employment law. A solicitor's firm with a difference. Go to realemploymentlawadvice.co.uk for more information.
Okay, we are having a debate on the EU. We've got three youngsters. We've got Cameron Perry, aged 14. But he doesn't look 14, he looks about, because you're about 6'4", aren't you?
Yeah.
And we've got Jacob Cass, and we've got Elfie Murray in as well. Now, Jacob's getting a tough time because he's the only one that wants to remain out of the three of them. And you just, mate, you just said something, and let's just debate that for a bit. You talked about Michael Gove.
Right.
Okay, you talked about Michael Gove. Don't forget, on that microphone. You said that... Because Michael Gove, let's point it out. Michael Gove is one of those guys that is campaigning for out.
Yes.
Now, we made the joke, we made the quip about what will happen is if we vote to come out as a nation, we will probably have David Cameron standing down because his job would be untenable, and we'll probably replace him with Boris Johnson. Then you started talking about Michael Gove. And this is where it kind of gets interesting. You said you probably have Michael Gove doing whatever he does, messing up the school system.
Yeah.
Now, we've had many discussions this week and in the last few months with many other people as well, saying that the school system, where it's wrong, and you're all pretty much agreed, the exam system is changing and it's wrong. There's other things that we don't agree with what's going on in schools, too much pressure on teachers and so on and so forth. But you say you want to remain...
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget that that man, Michael Gove, has, in your words, messed up the school system.
Yeah.
Whilst yes. being involved and being part of Europe. So let's not forget that he's done the job, regardless of in or out. He's done the job.
Yeah.
So do you see that changing? Just say, for instance, if we were to come out or stay in. Do you see him cleaning up his act and tidying up the school system? Probably not.
No. But that's another thing that shows that we can do what we like to an extent within the EU. The point I'm making is,
even when we can, what your suggestion is true, he still messes it up because the school system doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't seem to be working for many schools in this country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there anything you want to say on that, Alfie? You must have an opinion on that.
On this particular subject of it, I'm not really sure about it, because it's just a difficult one, because it's the same as everything else that's been done. Will there actually be change for either side?
I don't think much will change in that respect. I mean, what I'm pointing out is, is that if people are voting out because they look at Michael Gove and what he's done and they think he's done a great job, mm-hmm. Well, don't, because you know here's three school kids that think that he's done a dreadful job.
Well, yeah, the teachers were really close to striking. That's how bad that got. That.
So my point is this: would you trust him?
No.
Would you trust him?
Not at all. No.
But even though he's done that whilst being inside of Europe, do you think he's going to do it if it come out of Europe? Is he going to get the opportunity to change that? And if so, you then question: well, hang on a minute. Why didn't you say that? Because you've sold us this idea that works in your eyes. This works, and now you've changed teams. And now you're saying we're going to break that up now, and we're going to do it this way. Where's the trust going to go? There is no trust.
No trust anywhere, no matter what politician or what they've done.
They're kind of backing themselves into a corner.
That's what we've been doing for years, though. We've never trusted the politicians that we put in. As soon as we love them until we put them in and they make a decision. That's what we do, what we have done for decades.
Let me just make this absolutely 100. I've never loved a politician.
Exactly.
All right, I've never loved a politician. That's never happened. Have you got anything over there, Cameron? You've got lots of stuff there. I want to get as much of it out as possible. What's the next big point you want to make? Nice to know he's ready. We finish at one, by the way. You know that, don't you? It's European legislation. We have to finish at one. Come on, there must be something there. Let me ask you another question then. Okay, how much are you... Because your dad says he thinks that we should come out.
Yeah.
How much influence is your dad going to be? How much of this is your dad's thoughts? And you know, because I'll be honest, this isn't having a dig, because I was brought up to vote Labour, and I voted Labour, and then I reached the age of 22 and thought, do you know what, I'm not quite sure about this voting Labour malarkey. And I looked into it, took the time and the trouble, and thought, do you know what, I don't like any of them, they're all a bunch of idiots. And I've thought that ever since. So yeah. How much of an influence are your parents? I mean, are your parents, if you've got the chance to vote, are you voting the same way your parents are?
I'm not sure about my mum, but my dad is, of course, very heavy set on leaving.
Okay. What about you?
My mum thinks like we should have never gone into the EU in the first place.
Okay.
She just thinks we should be independent and we should have never gone into the EU to start with.
Okay, what about your mum and dad?
My parents both in.
Both in?
Yeah.
Okay. For what reason? I must say, I can see you picturing having your posh dinner, your posh nosh at your table, in your posh house in Ryde, talking all posh to each other and saying, Jacob, this is where we're staying in. We need to stay in because... come on, there must be a reason.
I don't think we ever went into detail.
You've not been listening to your mum? How dare you not listen to your mum? You should always listen to your mum.
Go on. I don't know, but... with what Cameron said about not going to the EU and all that, is that really the spirit of things? It's creating a them and us again. It's separating us out from everyone else. It's creating.
Right. Okay.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's creating tensions between cultures, races, religions, and is.
Is it though?
I think it is, yeah.
We're a multicultural country, aren't we? There's all...
And that in itself is causing... So whatever side of the argument you look at, it's... We're fueling ourselves on stereotypes, and I think that's just not what this should be about. This should be about our economy, our future, and it's... Although we haven't talked about it, I think a lot of it is stereotype. Like, the main focus point you see in the news is all about immigration. Mm. Immigration with
so do you think that, in there a bit. Do you think that's the media that have a problem with that? They're trying to keep that fuel going?
Because I don't know.
I bet you, if you were to deal with what you know, deal with what and who you know, have you got that kind of problem in your life? In your little life around the Isle of Wight and in your school, do you have that problem? Or are you looking at other people's problem in the news and thinking that's a problem? That's something that may have been created by the media. I'm not saying it doesn't go on, but they're bigging it up. They want to sell the story because it's a cracking story. But what about your life? Do you have those problems, in those issues in your life?
Yeah, with other people. It's a lot... It's a very... easy thing to pass the blame on to one person or a culture of persons rather than looking at what it is.
Do you have that problem in your school?
I think so, yeah.
You have that problem in this school?
It's kind of hard to say, because on the island we're not very culturally diverse, so we're all very white Caucasian people. So I don't think it's kind of a fair.
See, I think you ought to get out more.
Seriously?
Go up the hospital, have a wander around. Okay, there is people from all over the world that get on.
Yeah, no, I know there is.
And I think you're being influenced by the TV too much. I don't think we have those kind of issues on the Isle of Wight. We may do elsewhere in the country, but I'm asking you to focus on what you can see, because you can only focus on what you know and who you're with. Those issues are on the TV. Those issues aren't here on the island. I don't think they are.
No.
You go up the hospital. They're all working in unity.
Yeah.
They are.
But you...
Let me tell you something, just before you say that. In school... Let me go back to Medina. When I went to Medina, which is getting on for 40 years ago, 1978, I started, there was one black kid in the school. One. Mm-hmm. Okay? Just one. Now, he was a cracking bloke, and he had a few chips on his shoulder because I think he felt he was different.
Yeah.
He wasn't, and nobody treated him that way. Nobody, but he had chips on his shoulder.
Yeah. Okay. No, that is definitely.
Now things have changed massively up and down the country, probably even more so. And on the Isle of Wight, a lot more so. You go around, you walk around and you see a lot of people from a lot of different countries and a lot of people rubbing shoulders, no problems. We're all getting on with our lives because that's how we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now what you in your head, I think, is you see it on the TV and you hear other people say, and you see, you know, TV programs that will criticize and they'll say what's going on. And the trouble is, you then think that is actually going on, but it's not where you live and it's not in your life. When was the last time you saw any kind of racial hatred on the Isle of Wight? Be honest.
I don't.
In your school?
No, not in our school. But so, whatever the racial hatred is, it's not person to person, it's not face to face. It is all over. It is, I don't know how to explain it.
But it's not out there, is it? In your neck of the woods,
I think it is there, but I don't think it's the opportunity for it to happen has come out.
So
yet.
Well, see, but the thing is, you're saying that other people have this issue. I'm saying that there are people, yes, that do have that issue, but the majority of them don't, and we're kind of being sidetracked, or we're being smacked with the stick that is on the television that we're all moaning about immigration. I don't think the majority of people are moaning about immigration at all. I think what they're worried about is just a fair deal. A fairer deal and a little bit more honesty and transparency.
Well, we're never going to get that from politicians, are we?
The trouble is, yeah, but we're never ever going to get that from our British media.
No.
So the sad thing is the emphasis is put on things that is going to divide an opinion. It's divided yours.
Yeah.
Because you think that. And yet, that is probably going on in other necks of the woods, in London, other places, but on the Isle of Wight, I don't think that's a massive issue. I really don't. We've just said that you go to school. You've not had that racial hatred in school, and yet you probably have Muslims in your school.
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
There you go. You don't even know they exist. So you know, if you don't even know they exist, where's the problem?
Yeah.
Even if you do know if they exist, there's still no problem, and there shouldn't be. We should just accept each other for what they are. But what I'm saying is, we cloud our judgment with what we see on the TV. I'm not saying that doesn't happen elsewhere, but on the Isle of Wight, come on, you go up to the hospital. They're all working in harmony up there. You know, it's tough times up there. Yeah, cutbacks, it's tough, it's hard, and there's waiting times, but you look, there are multicultural up there, and we are becoming more and more so a multicultural island.
Yes.
You know, we've got to play catch-up with the rest of the country. Yep. What's going on? But where's the fight? Where's the aggro? There isn't any.
No.
I'll just make that point. Hi, who's this?
How you doing, Ian? It's Jay.
Hello, Jay. How you doing?
Yeah, fine. How are the lads? All right?
He said, hello, lads. How you
hello.
Going?
Oh, hello. Sorry, us.
Hello.
Right, sorry.
Hi. I think the young lad you were talking to there about, the media does portray the immigration as an issue. whether that be, you know, happening here or, on the Isle of Wight, in your face or not, doesn't really matter, because the truth of it is that the media have pushed it into the agenda, and it has been the forefront of a vast majority of the debates. And it does, you have some of the debates that have been televised and stuff, and there are, you know, even the the people curating the debate are saying, oh, immigration is the number one thing on people's minds. You know, now, whether it is or whether it isn't, that's how it's been portrayed to the country, you know? And I think, I personally think the whole vote should be called off until we have a sensible discussion, because from what I've seen, all of the so-called debates haven't mentioned anything of anything worth talking about.
Exactly. I agree.
That's completely true.
Because, you know, you had sort of the build-up to it, and sort of scrappy bits of information. The closer we've got to it, it's got more intense, and then, you know, the past week's become somewhat overwhelming. But it's all been pretty much negative from both sides, I must say. I mean, I could give you some fantastic arguments for coming out. I could also give you some fantastic arguments for staying in. Not one of them have been put, you know, up for reasonable discussion, because it's all been broken down to the real, you know, sometimes the most vilest, lowest denominators, and that's not a debate on the large scale issues at all. You know, it's just fuel for the fire for argument, and a lot of the time being used to blame. Yeah, we are culturally diverse, the UK as a whole, but it's you know, some fractions tend to use that as an opportunity for blame because the economy's stalling, and that's not actually discussing why the economy is stalling and things aren't going so good. You know, the NHS isn't struggling because of immigrants; it's struggling because of lack of funding over long periods of years. Now it's being couched that these things are because of being in the EU or because of immigrants, and it's just simply not true. So the debates that have been going on have primarily been rooted in complete falsehoods. So the whole bloody thing should be called off. It's ridiculous. I don't know what the country thinks it's voting on.
Yeah. See, I think that's common sense, isn't
yes,
it? I do.
Yeah.
I go back to the point we were saying earlier on, where I don't even know why we're, you know, we voted this government in. We knew what they were going to do and what they wanted. Well, just get on and do it. Why involve us? Why stress us out?
Even on that, Ian, I disagree. Don't disagree with you fundamentally. What I'm saying, I don't think people did necessarily know what they were voting in.
No.
Voting in cuts.
Yes.
But the government never ever said where these cuts were coming, how fast, how big, and in what direction. And all of that is couched because we need, apparently, austerity. Well, do we? You know, is that the only route and option that was open? Because that wasn't discussed and debated. So people have been, again, you know, another distraction, that apparently we just need to accept austerity and vote for that, when people are not actually knowing what it is. So, you know, you're voting for something, you don't know what you're voting for, and that's not democracy.
Yeah. It's something that David Cameron said the other day. He's claiming that all the experts are saying remain, but then the Leave Party are just saying, "Oh, ignore them. Just we're right. Go with us." And they're not saying why. And he put it as the analogy of if a mechanic said, "Oh, this car is not fit," you're not going to get into that car and drive away, are you? If a mechanic, who is the expert, said you can't drive away in this car, you're not going to do it anyway.
Yeah, true. I mean, you can make these sorts of analogies for both sides.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was your name, my friend?
Jacob.
Jacob. You can make these analogies for both sides of a false argument,
yeah.
Jacob, because the both sides haven't given a reasonable reason for staying or leaving.
Exactly.
But, you know, one of the primary ones that hasn't been discussed, because, you know, we are global now. We're living in a global economy, and mm-hmm. we've got global problems. And, you know, I would vote Remain purely because of the scale of the problems to deal with. Not with necessarily political views, but for big issues that we have to confront. And that's going to take global movement to challenge it.
We've run out of time, Jay. I just want to ask you a quick question. If you say we can we only fix it by remaining then?
No, not necessarily. We can only fix it by vast, huge cooperation between, you know, intercontinental and intercountries. And at this moment in time, to peel off and become more insular for all, never mind just the UK, but if all countries start to do that, like you guys said, the domino effect, that'll make things worse for what we've got to deal with, especially for that generation you've got sitting in your studio right now.
Okay, look, Jay, thanks very much for your call. Really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye. Now. Cheers. It's 1 o'clock. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Jacob, and thank you, Elfie. So you're not changing your mind. You're still voting
out.
In.
I'm not voting at all, but yeah, out.
Well, you would have voted that way. I thought you were going to say shake it all about, but here you go. Stand by, Chris is on the way.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.